OT After Dark is a podcast run by two occupational therapists and is for adults only. The views on this podcast are our own and are intended for information and educational purposes only. We believe that sex and sexual pleasure are a human right for consenting adults, regardless of ability, age, gender, or sexual orientation. We discuss topics that cover a wide variety of sex and sexual practices. To be true to our strong views regarding inclusivity, we use common and slang terms regarding sexual topics, which may be considered explicit. Listener discretion is advised.
We have exciting news to share. We recently partnered with DirectRec, a free app for OT practitioners, PT practitioners, and speech-language pathologists.
DirectRec helps clinicians to find peer-vetted products, and we recently have added our own recommendations of products on DirectRec for sexual health and wellness.
We helped DirectRec get a little extra sexy. DirectRec helps clinicians share products and other digital info, like YouTube videos and Google Docs, with their clients.
DirectRec helps you to track clients' follow-through on your product recommendations. So to start using DirectRec, click on the link on our website at otafterdark.com or in our social media bios.
Hi, I'm Kay.
And I'm JJ.
And we're both occupational therapists.
And we're here talking to you about sex.
Tell our listeners what we have for them today.
Well, today on OT After Dark, we have Katie Rodriguez-Bannister and Steve Bannister from Access for All. And we sit down and chat with them about love, relationships, and of course, sex. So sit back and enjoy. Today, we have Katie Rodriguez-Bannister from Access for All, and she's here with her husband, Steve, and they are both speakers, authors, and disability educators. So welcome, Katie and Steve, to OT After Dark.
I'm glad to be here.
Could we start with you just giving your background? Tell us why you're here, the basics of why you're here.
My disability changed my life. I was 25 when it happened. I'd gotten my degree in recreation and was working at parks and recreation departments and graduated college, Missouri State College, and tried to find a good job in the field and couldn't find one. And I got one and went into business and sales. And then I moved back to St. Louis after moving around a lot of different places and got a job as a social director for an apartment community. And 4 days later, I was in an SUV that rolled over, leaving me a C5, C6, incomplete quadriplegic, and paralyzed from the chest down. I've got good arms, but no fingers. I let my husband introduce himself and maybe tell y'all how we met.
Yeah, I was born with an extra chromosome. I have a condition called Klinefelter syndrome. And basically, I didn't get diagnosed with that till I was 18. So I got to go through elementary and junior high and high school having a lot of issues with it, not knowing, you know, what was wrong. So then I went to through school in the 70s and 80s. And at that time, going through elementary school, I had a lot of learning disabilities. And the teachers at that time didn't really know anything about that, it appeared. But they just thought I wasn't trying very hard. So they didn't really help out very much. IDEA existed, but I never heard about that until I was in college. So anyway, my mom luckily was a librarian, and she helped me learn how to learn, and she helped me get through school. And I did go to college. I got a degree in rehabilitation psychology, and I ended up getting a job at a Center for Independent Living in Central Missouri, and we had a pretty large service area, and we had a bus and a couple vans, and we would take our clients with different disabilities to different places. For people who don't know about independent living centers, those are unique organizations, nonprofits that that over the rule for independent living centers is that over half of the staff and board of directors have to be people with disabilities. So all the services they provide are what they call consumer controlled. And so, like I said, I was in the middle of the state and we were a half hour away from the state capitol. And we would frequently go to the capitol to have our clients' disabilities work with the legislators and help write disability legislation and do advocacy. And I met Katie at the Capitol one day when she was giving testimony to the House Appropriations Committee, asking them to fund a state personal care attendant program.
So it took a wheelchair to find the man I love.
How long ago was that?
And we just, yesterday.
That was in 1993. Yesterday,
my accident was in 90. We met in 93. And yesterday we celebrated 21 years of marriage. And we've been together 28 years old. And
happy anniversary. So cool. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. And you know, it's so funny. Steve, if we saw each other before my accident, I would have had no time for him. He is he's like a turtle and I'm like the hare. So what's cool though, is the accident happened and all my friends from high school tell me I'm still the same. So I'm still a hare. I just roll. And he says, what do you tell people? Like, if you would have seen me before my accident, you would have been like, oh, you know, no way. That girl's too much. So, but he mellowed me too. He has a very calming sense of security. But the good thing about, he waited a year and a half for a kiss because I didn't want to mess up our friendship. I had a rotten track record with guys. It was just very shallow relationships. I cheated on almost probably all of them, honestly. I'll be honest. I was not a good partner. I was restless and angry and just unsettled. And so then I have this auto accident and it gave me another opportunity. And he was so patient. He didn't pressure me. He did try to put his arm around me on my wheelchair when we were first, you know, started out. And I was like, and I'd move real fast so his arm couldn't land. And I was like, no, I'm not ready. And the poor boy, he wrote a chapter for my memoir, Honor Roll. And when I read it, I was like, I'm so sorry. I put you through hell. I just did. But, you know, he's kind, he's patient, and we're the best pair ever.
So kind of on that, what were your early experiences post-accident with navigating the dating world, and how did that compare to prior to your motor vehicle accident?
Well, I loved my occupational therapist, Lori. She was amazing. The best thing she did for me was help me regain my femininity. She helped me do that by, you know, the tenombesis brace that you have mm-hmm. made that allows you to open and close your fingers and thumb to pick up stuff. I told Lori I was not leaving rehab till I could put on my own lipstick. And so she was like, she got the tenombesis brace. Mm-hmm. She put little rubber things around my makeup brushes. And not that I have to look like a Barbie doll. I don't have to. But being able to do my own lipstick, mm-hmm. game changer. Total game changer. And before I got out of rehab, the only sex talk I got was by a gentleman psychologist. And he put me in this room by myself and said, you have a video for you to watch. And it was something like, you can get your period again, or something like that title. I didn't have a period all 6 months of my rehab. And I finally started about a month after I got back home. I guess my body just finally released from trying so hard for 6 months. But that was the only sex talk I got. And maybe that's why I was so apprehensive with Steve. At first, I didn't want to mess up our friendship because we had so much fun, but I didn't have the skills yet. But once I started feeling my femininity again, then that was empowering. Mm-hmm. So then I thought I still can be attractive, because I'll tell you what, and ladies out there that are other women on wheels, it's tough sometimes to feel really attractive. I mean, really, really, it's such a competition out there, but whether it's, you know, makeup is fine and hair is good and all that. It's a bonus when I find an aide who knows how to use a curling iron. Total bonus. Doesn't happen all the time. So I got a nice haircut that's easy. I got some waves. I can suck it up and deal with it.
Tell them about you did date a little bit before you met me.
Oh, that's right. I did put an ad in the personals paper. It was, I lived with my parents after I got a rehab for 15 months, and I was soon like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. I love my parents, but there's a reason I didn't live with them. I mean, they're very intense people, and I'm intense. And it's a lot of energy. So I lived with my brother before my accident, Tom, and he and I found a small house not too far from my parents' house, and we made it work. And he lived downstairs, and I gained some independence. I had the Division of Aging. I had no health insurance at the time of the accident. The Division of Aging gave me a morning attendant for 4 hours. Funding from the Center for Independent Living gave me attendant care six hours in the afternoon. And then my family really financially contributed. Like, I'm from a family of seven. I'm the sixth of seven. And they would contribute some, like, $100 a month towards my care. And
because your dad made them.
Yeah, he did.
Wasn't out of the kindness of their
No. But, and the good thing is, I was, well, good thing, bad thing, I don't know. I'm an optimist, so pretty much most things are good. But I had a major lawsuit against the corporation. I was in a vehicle, and I'd probably not like to say the company on air in this recording, but it took 10 years to settle. I beat them twice in court, and it was really cool. I paid Medicaid back every dollar. I pay my family, or Medicare.
Medicare
and Medicaid.
They got their money before you got your money.
Which is fine. They were there for me. I'm going to pay up. You have to pay the bill if you can. And I paid my family back then. Then I started buying cars and helping my family do all this. And then I was like, wait a second, I got to make this last. So unfortunately, my family is not always as friendly to me anymore. So that part sucks. But Steve and I were able to publish our books and our music and make music videos. So, you know, we just make the best of it.
Tell us a little bit more about the books that you've written and your lives as authors.
Well, what's really cool is about what's your subject, sexuality. There, St. Louis University, WashU, and Maryville, when schools were fully in session, brought us in regularly to talk about sex. Because, and I like that topic.
To OT classes.
And some general study, lived experience days, the SLU does. They want people with lived experiences to share their experience. And I bring up sex. I do, because we have got to talk about it. And our books, our first book was a children's book, Aunt Katie's Visit. And our second book was a personal care attendant guide that got picked up by a national publisher, Demos Medical Publishing. Our third book was a collection of poetry. Fourth book was Karma, and our CD, Beauty in the Loo, it's songs and poetry. And then I just released On a Roll. And most of all my material is derived, I'll be honest, from anger. I'm mad because I can't get to go places. I'm mad at people who judge me just by looking. I'm mad, you know, at people in my life who say they love me, but they really don't. People who are really good with me on email and in on, you know, on the telephone, but then they get around me and they don't want to look at me. And now the good thing is the wheelchair weeds out people I don't need to be around anyway. So that's kind of a bonus, actually, if you really look at it like that. And, you know, some people show you how. There's a quote by Frances Scovel Shinn. She wrote this book in 1925 called The Book of Life. Is that it right? And in it, she says, no one is your enemy. No one is your friend. Everyone's your teacher. So you can look at somebody and go, ooh, I want to be like that. Or you can go, oh my God, I am not doing that. So you got to thank them and bless them and send them on their way. Right? Don't you feel that way too?
Yeah.
Steve brought spirituality into my life too that I never had. He's a reader. It's so funny, ladies. I am a writer and I don't read that much. I mean, I like self-help books. I like personal story books, journeys, but Steve is an avid reader and he's just awesome. He's smart. And it's the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. And I think that helps it make better sex than I've ever had. Is it still the same way? Oh my gosh, I can't do that. Not at all. I mean, I can't feel over 80% of my body. I have internal feeling. So like when we do make love and he likes to snuggle behind me, I can, my head, it's kind of like amputees that feel their legs that are no longer there. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that something's going on. But most importantly, it doesn't matter that I don't feel it because I know he does. Mm-hmm. And life is a team effort. You know, I don't think we can do it alone.
But we hold and kiss and feel it. That part of your body.
Oh my God, the first time he kissed me, I swear to God, we kissed for an hour and a half. It was awesome. And he was so patient. He was standing at my sink washing some fruit one afternoon for my nephew's christening the next day. And I just looked at him and I said, grab a chair, sit down and kiss me. And then I just knew it. I knew he was the guy. I did. Oh, I drove my friends crazy. Should I kiss him? Should I not kiss him? What if I kiss him? What if he doesn't even like it? Oh my God. I don't know what I should do. My girlfriend was like, just kiss the boy.
As you started to navigate that physical intimacy, was it completely just you figuring that out and problem solving on your own? There were no medical professionals, right? Kind of helping that process.
No, because the accident was in 1990. Steve and I met in 93. I don't think really people were talking about sex until like the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I bring it up, and I do a performance piece called Go Figure that I wrote with a disability project, a theater company with the St. Louis Theater Company, that uppity theater company here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And it's a showstopper. And I love doing it. And I performed it with a gay man. It was awesome. I turned it into a solo and I use it in my programs. It's not as fun as without Rich, but it's still usable. And we've now through that, and I joined the disability project in 1996. So, we've been trying, we've been throwing it out there at people who were, willing to listen. Oh, another game changer, my occupational therapist, Lori, did. She gave me the makeup brushes with the little tubing around it, but she devised this mascara applicator. So it's like a puff, and it has a couple inches high up of that white plastic form material that you guys use. Mm-hmm. And she wrapped a little bit of it around my wand lid. And so I could hold my arm against my chest and put on my mascara. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I don't mean to look good. I just, it helped me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm. What would your message be to either future, so we have a lot of students that listen, but so future OT practitioners or current people practicing OT, what would your message be to them about addressing sexuality and intimacy?
Two things. Please allow people time to mourn and help them mourn. Help them recognize the need to mourn. My therapist did that for me. Best gift ever. I need to cry. I need to be sad for a while. I need other people to recognize that I have this sadness and not make me feel guilty for it and just listen. And then redirect and say, you know what? That does stink, Katie, and it's not fair. But we've got today, mm-hmm. and I want to help you be as productive and happy as possible today. So we have to take with what is and find the best way to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And those two things go back and forth, sometimes on a daily basis. Sometimes I'm stuck in mourning for, beyond the morning, it's afternoon, evening, and maybe overnight. And redirection is really important, while somebody's picking up marbles, putting them in their jar, you can say something like, ask them, so are they married? Or they'll probably know the answer to this. How do you feel about going back home with your husband or wife? And if they're single, what are you thinking about dating again? I can imagine it's very scary, even the thought of it. Mm-hmm. So while they're doing their OT work, get them speaking a little bit about socialization, preparing them to go out into the world with this disability beyond just physically moving things and getting food to their mouth, thinking about the emotional aspect of life, because it's deep, it's hard. But it's hard because, I was in rehab. I got 4 months of rehab. Mm-hmm. I got 2 months of intensive care and 4 months of rehab. And boy, you're lucky if you get a month around here lately. Mm-hmm. Do you notice that change too, ladies?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Quick to go home.
Called insurance.
Yeah.
Likes to dictate what happens.
I know. I know. So we have to tell those OTers out there just to keep plugging away at it. Do the necessary paperwork. Justify why that person really needs to be there. And that itself can really help. And allowing people to be sad and recognizing them in that. And then it's okay to be sad. And then offer that glimmer of hope that, you know, you're going to survive this. Although one gentleman, well, there were these two guys in rehab. They would always, I'd go down to do the work, my OT and my PT. And they'd always look at me and go, Katie, why are you always so happy? And I believe happiness is a choice. And I'd look at them and go, well, I don't know, guys, I got to go. And I know one of them is still present today. He's gotten a lot cheerier. And he's working full time and he's doing much better. One of them, I don't think he is alive anymore. He came into rehab after me. He was a high break. He's probably like a C4, five, six like me. And he rolled over an ATV accident. And he refused to learn how to feed himself. He let his family do it. And his mom and I became good friends because we're talking while we're down in rehab. And she's like, yeah, my son should. And then he checked himself out. And his mother asked me, well, my son should probably stay longer, shouldn't he? And I was like, yeah, this is a good place. Do it. Do the work. But he checked himself out with people feeding him. So I don't know. You can't save everybody, OTs. I know you want to.
That's a very important lesson. Yes.
And it's hard to know how do you decide that? As OTs, I'm asking you, how do you decide that? How do you decipher that?
I wish there was a real straightforward answer, but there's not. It's a lot of clinical reasoning, a lot of problem solving, a lot of looking at progress over time and having to make that determination that progress isn't there. And we've tried everything. And so, but there's no like magic equation to figure that out, unfortunately.
Wow. Progress isn't there. That sounds so depressing.
I know. It's depressing.
God, that sounds like you just got to go to sleep and just like not wake up, I guess. I'm like, golly, what a bummer for them. Yeah. Here's an interesting concept. I came out with my book On a Roll, and I had a trusted friend who's a speaker and author. She travels and she read it. And she, you know what? She told me I'm prejudiced. And I was like, prejudice against what? She goes, Katie, you're prejudiced against people who won't try. And I thought about that. And I said, okay, I accept that. I guess I am. I really, really am, because I do try so hard. I guess I am. And that's my own burden that I carry. And now that I'm fully aware of it, I really do need to cut others' people's some slack, because they might not be where I'm at in my spot. I hope that for others, but not everybody can be. So I thought that was pretty eye-opening. Yeah. I like that I can grow at the age of 56. It's awesome.
Yeah, everybody has their different hopes and dreams, and sometimes it's hard to step away as a practitioner. Sometimes it's hard to step away from that and realize, like, well, what this client wants is I need to accept that. It might not be what I see for them, but I need to accept it.
And I think that's, you know, it's part of finding what's meaningful for that person, because what's meaningful for them is going to be very individualized. And what I think might be meaningful is not what they find meaningful. So maybe they don't want to do this certain activity or this occupation because that's not what is important or that's not what's meaningful. So it's trying to kind of piece that out and tease that out to figure out, okay, well, what is important to you and what do you want to work on?
Oh, that is cool. That is a cool concept, because I probably want more than the average person to do and go and be. But you know what? I don't think I've ever made people feel bad about wherever they're at. Maybe I feel bad because they're not trying in that part, and that makes me feel sad about it. But yeah, we're both share that perspective. That's real eye-opening. I like learning. I do. I like learning.
So do we.
And that's why you do this show. That's educate, right. Empower girls.
Right.
Girls. Yes. Yeah.
So what else can you educate us on regarding sex and disability? Tips, tricks, things you want other people to know.
For me, you know what my favorite part is? I'll be honest. You know what my favorite part of sex is? The getting ready for it. The anticipation. And I'll be superficial. What am I wearing? And how is my hair look? And what I need a lipstick.
You like neck rubs and
yes,
like
love
your head scratch that gives you orgasms.
Yes, that is pretty awesome.
Places you can feel.
Mm-hmm. And Steve's very patient. He really is. I'm more the rusher. I like to move quickly, but Steve says, "No, we're gonna relax now, Katie." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, I guess I can." but yeah, when we were younger, there's this thing called the Liberator. It's a, mm-hmm. it's like a giant cheese wedge. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Pillow. We use that a lot. That was fun. But, you know, we're in our mid-50s and Steve can't move my hips the way he used to. But I love snuggling. And I love a good kissing. And I like the relaxation and part of sex that makes me feel secure and safe and protected, which is exactly what he does for me. When we first started having sex, he had to learn how to cap me. And I had never let any dude do that, including nurses. I had no male nurses. I came in one in rehab, woke up to a gentleman capping me. I was livid. So I told the head nurse and he knew it. He was just being a douche. I asked my attendant Lisa if she would be willing to teach him. Mm-hmm. So Lisa lays me in bed, pulls pants down, puts my legs heel to heel. I do intermittent capping. I used to be able to hold my bladder for 8 hours. Now I'm down to 4. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll do a tube later, but right now I just want to do intermittent capping. Mm-hmm. And so Lisa sets it all up and Steve comes in and Lisa tells him and shows him. And you know what Steve says? He goes, "Is that it?"
That's a good man.
And Lisa and I are like, "Oh, yeah." And then he's like, "Okay." And he leaves the room and Lisa and I are like, "Oh, my God." But, and I thought, well, if we're going to have sex, he's going to have to cap me. Mm-hmm. The bonus with his Klinefelters, oh, my God, he's infertile. What a gift. What a total gift. Together, we have 28. Nieces and nephews?
It's over 30 now.
Amount's over 30, yeah. Let them populate. I'm good with just me and Steve. I'm good with them.
You mentioned like neck rubs giving you an orgasm. Mm. Mm-hmm. To whatever extent you're comfortable, could you discuss that change of having to explore new ways of orgasming?
Yes. A lot of mine, it takes me a while. You know, with men, it's, you know, it again, but paralyzed men, it takes a while too. I think that there is it's just not I need to relax. The relaxing is really hard for me to do by nature, as you can tell, duh. But Steve's really good at, you know, we're going to make time for this. And I'll kind of, you know, but I've got so much at my desk to do, you know, I got a lot to do. He's like, no, we're going to make time for this. And what makes me happy, even though I don't have an orgasm every time we have sex, I know, and I'm okay with that. But I know I'm happy because I'm making my husband happy. Mm-hmm. And that makes me happy. And believe it or not. So, but yes, the shoulders and the ears, I mean, you can't come up to my ears. They're way too sensitive. It's just crazy. But I love my hair brushed. I like the internal feeling after I taught Steve how to cap me, because I cap before and after, mm-hmm. just because I'm prone to bladder infections even before the accident. So my body's really prone to that. So we cap before and after, and it's just a part of the process. Bower teens, That ever happened to us? Or?
I think once.
I think poop came out once. My poop usually won't come out without a suppository, but maybe I was pushing too hard, or I don't know. It happened only once, but he just
cleaned it up.
And went about our business, continued. You want a real orgasm? Clean my house and take me shopping. Those two things are a blast for me. And I don't feel like I'm missing out. I had a good amount of experience. And when Steve and I are making love, I think about that past experience, not the guy that I was with, but the way it made me feel and the way I knew it felt, mm-hmm. if I could feel. He just makes a point. I can feel on the inside of my arms and through the heel of my thumb. And Steve can massage my thumb, or he'll kiss my thumb, or kiss the heel of my hand. And he makes it, or massage it. And that makes it, you know, it makes it a whole lot better. We used to use those liquids that you massage with that get hot when you rub. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool on my shoulders. But my hair's gotten longer, so it kind of gets in the way of that. And
sometimes we use a magic wand on your shoulders.
Oh, God, the magic wand is amazing. Have you heard of that?
Yep.
It is. It just massages. It's wonderful. It was so funny. I had an attendant, and her daughter would come and care for her. Well, she cared for me a couple times, and she just loved the magic wand. She just thought that was the neatest thing. She's 3 years old, using the magic wand, going, yeah, it was funny. It was real funny. I apologize for the beeping noise. I don't know what that is. Can you disconnect that? I think we have a battery backup thing, and I hope it doesn't disconnect us. I hope. Is it okay? What a bummer, ladies. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. We can edit all of this out.
It's real life.
Oh, good. Yay.
It's real life.
Fantastic. Oh. I heard something that you did that made it sound less. Oh. Woohoo. We're good. We're good. Yay. In the hood.
All right. Back in business.
Oh, also I thought of something that that will help your OTers out there with their clients and patients. The two words that help me are creativity and communication. And if you can get both sides of the partners doing that on a regular basis, you know, you're doing your Marvel activity and counting stuff or whatever, talk about creativity and how are you going to say things. And I love it when somebody says to me things like, I'm not sure how to help you, but if you tell me, I will try. Mm-hmm. That way, the person with a disability needing the help can kind of be in charge of their care. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure what you mean right now, but what do you need? I am going to do my best to help you with that, find some answers, and talk to them outright. You know, have you thought about sex again? Have you thought about dating? Have you thought about, you know, is your wardrobe going to change because you're sitting in a chair now? Have you thought about that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. What's comfortable for you to wear? What makes you feel good when you wear it? What's your favorite color? Get them thinking ahead that, you know what, if I put on my red blouse, I'm kind of feeling a little frisky, you know, get them to get some neat things that make them feel good.
I think that's a really good point. Cause I think practicality sometimes gets in the way in early therapy mm-hmm. days, and the OT mm-hmm. practitioner is thinking about, understandably, what's going to be easiest clothes to put on and off. And I think mm-hmm. we can forget about how clothes make us feel. And how they can make us feel sexy, and how we need mm-hmm. to have those conversations with people.
Oh, and on that line, Steve was funny. He would buy me cute outfits, and he would put them on me, and then, of course, have to take them off me when I had sex. So finally, what we learned is I'll have my attendant do that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My attendant preps me. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you have cool attendants that are open-minded and can see, you know, not being deviant, but wanting to have fulfill the person's real passions.
How do you navigate that conversation? So I will say, years ago, I was an mm-hmm. attendant to somebody with a high level spinal cord injury. And we did have conversations about prep for masturbation. And I was fine with getting the Playboy out. That's all he wanted from me. Get the Playboy out, open to a certain page, make sure he was positioned in bed and leave. But I know that several of his other attendants were not comfortable with that. But it was, I think it was, he was 20 some years post accident when I worked with him. So he had good experience of how to navigate that. I'm curious how that is navigating those communications with attendants.
Well, I think it starts with the interview when you're looking for an aide, in terms of trying to find somebody who's open-minded and kind. And even if you're questioning your aide, asking them, have you ever had to deal with somebody with dealing with intimacy and intimacy choices? And would you feel weird about assisting me, not in the act of sex, but prepping me so I can feel good about myself enough to be able to have that to do with my partner? It is communication. Mm-hmm. And I had a wonderful overnight attendant. She was very religious, and there was no way I could even say the word sex around her. So that was on her nights. No, nothing happened. It was just like, no. But I've had other night attendants that, you know,
very liberal
and very kind, and even brought me to their home, took me out of town, and I stayed at their apartment, you know, and like in Columbia, when Steve lived in Columbia, we commuted our relationship for 6 years. So I've had some really good attendants. And in fact, it was my attendant that made me ask Steve out. When we were doing advocacy work, my attendant was like, who's that guy you were talking to? And I was like, some guy, I don't know. I think his name is Steve. She's like, well, he seems pretty cool. I was like, whatever. And the next week, Paraquad, the Center for Independent Living here in St. Louis, said, Katie, would you come do testimony again? And Tamia said, she'll go with me and let's call Steve. So that's how it started. It was my attendant. That was my attendant who really pushed me, and Steve's patience. I didn't want to mess it up. He was my best friend. And that's the best relationship advice I can give anyone. Because I saw in rehab relationships that stayed, and the 17-year-old who lost his girlfriend because she couldn't handle it. God, it broke my heart. It just broke my heart. But getting your patients ready about, you know, being aware and being patient and learning how to communicate their feelings, that can be a game changer too.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And Steve and I, we also talk about healthy coping mechanisms. My motto is feel it, think it, write it, say it. And when you can do all four of those on a regular basis, it can help you overcome just about anything. Some people, we deny our emotions. We don't feel it. We choose to eat or drink or shop or do other things. And then the think it, my wheelchair slowed me down enough that I really had a lot of time to myself. So I had to do something. And then write it, Steve and I, our books, and say it. Both working with you today, and I hope that I get to help one person at least. Mm-hmm. Oh, my job's done. And I know you ladies do too, because you've taken on such an intense topic. It's awesome. And like I shared before earlier, I found you through my occupational therapist, Sarah, and she's like, you know, Katie, you really need to listen to these ladies and what they're doing. And that's how I emailed and got to you, because I think we really need to leave the world a better place than we found it. We really do. And that in the OTs, you guys, you know, I'm not going religiously here, but you're doing God's work, and whatever you believe God to be, you are helping people feel healthy and happy and getting, and sex makes you feel that way. Sex makes you feel healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm not having as many orgasms as I used to. When I do, it's amazing and it relaxes the heck out of me. But it's just different.
It's that quality of life. And I think for OT, that's a huge part, is we want people to have high quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that, mm-hmm. that can't just be, can you get yourself dressed?
There's can more you to feed life yourself?
There has to be more to it than that.
Yes. So you ladies are beyond the pants.
Yes.
That's what you are. Just, you got them up. Well, let's help get them down for a reason.
That would be a great book title. Beyond the pants.
Beyond the
pants. For an OT writing about, that would be great.
You can borrow it. Give me a cut. I don't mind.
Occupational therapy. Beyond the pants.
Make it the next topic. All right, you OTers out there, give me a plug, let them know where you heard it. Make it your next poster board project or whatever you're doing right now, if you're still in school. But yeah, and you're doing it the right way, ladies, like Steve and I are doing it, laughing and finding the humor and communicating and recognizing it and mourning loss and redirect. I mean, when you do all those things, you know, sex can be really, really awesome. But oh, it's funny. Steve likes pornography. I do not. He brought it home and we have a big screen TV and he put it on the screen. I just about threw up. I was like, I cannot. No, I'm sorry. He likes it. I go, that's on your time, bud. That is not on our time. It was so, I was like, oh, it's disgusting. But I was like, I don't need to see a HD vagina. I'm like, what? It was horrible. And I was, give me a love story. I'll take a love story, you know, with a little snuggle scene, but don't show me a, sorry, am I old fashioned? Am I being a cranky old lady?
Everybody has their own preferences. Everyone has their own thing.
Yep. Steve enjoys it. That's fine.
Okay, some people love it. Some people hate it.
Oh God. Well, he's got his whole downstairs. So we have our separate living environments and it's wonderful. He can go do his thing. I get to do mine and we're both happy. And I think that's important in a relationship, especially when an injury happens to somebody 40, 50 years old, you've got to figure out a way to make that work mm-hmm. in that. And it can make a break like we discussed earlier. So, the person with the disability 's got to find their way. They can be influenced by their OT and their whole hospitalization. But it's really got to come from within. And if you can help them feel good about themselves by feeding themselves, putting on their lipstick, getting them interested in something beyond their disability, I think there's hope. I definitely think there's some hope there.
I think that's
hard to find some days. I'll admit, but it's there.
It sounds like a perfect ending.
I think that was, yeah. Very beautifully said.
Good.
Excellent.
So, Katie, thank you so much, and Steve as well, for being on OT After Dark. It was an absolute pleasure to speak with you guys today.
All right, ladies. Adios. Thank you.
We want to once again thank Katie and Steve for being on OT After Dark today.
I really loved what she had to say about creativity and communication and how important that is.
Yeah, and I also liked how she stated that, you know, sometimes sex can just make you feel healthy.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Where can our listeners find Katie and Steve?
So you can find Katie and Steve on their website for Access for All, which is access-4-all.com. And we will provide a link to that on our website. And when you go to their website, there is links to all of their social media accounts.
It's a beautiful website.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Check it out.
And remember,
as always,
sex is an ADL.
Cheers!